Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
Might I point out that you cannot attempt to play Hamlet merely as an act of ego, Sarah?
All theater is an act of ego.
Last night, the Roundabout Theater Company opened a new play by Teresa Riebeck at the American Airlines Theater in New York City. Directed by Moritz von Stupenagel, Bernhard Hamlet is set just before the turn of the 20th century, when the acclaimed and adored actress Sarah Bernhardt stages a production of William Shakespeare's Hamlet, herself in the title role of the halting and hesitant Prince of Denmark.
I am perfectly suited to play Hamlet. No one cares about his masculinity, so-called. They care about the magnificent nuance of his heart.
Yes.
And his passion.
Yes.
And his joy.
His joy? He's the most miserable and melancholic of men.
No one is going to come to the theater to see me play a depressed, melancholic boy.
In Bernhard Hamlet, the divine Sarah is inhabited by Golden Globe, Tony, and Olivier Award-winning actress Janet McTeer. Bernhard, as penned by Riebeck, is having an affair with poet and playwright Edmund Rostand, who is played by Jason Butler Harner. Harner's previous Broadway credits include The Crucible and The Coast of Utopia. He's performed off-Broadway as well, earning Obie and Drama Desk Award nominations. His major film debut came in Clint Eastwood's Oscar-nominated film Changeling, and he currently stars on the Netflix series Ozark. I spoke with him in New York City recently and began by asking him about his experience working on Bernhard Hamlet.
I'm having the absolute best time, like really the best time. I've waited for a very long time to get to be the straight-up leading man, let alone on Broadway, and the idea that it's happening and that it's happening opposite Janet McTeer is just making me so happy every day.
I want to talk a lot about you. But first, Janet McTeer, how does she be? Is she from space? She's amazing.
Isn't she just phenomenal? She glows. I had a friend of mine was at the show last night, and she was like, she just glows on stage, and she does. And as a person, she's just the most heavenly, gorgeous piece of joy to be around. And it's all about the possibility of creating, going for the positive choice, going towards love, and knowing that it's a process, you know, having fun every night, like Mark Rylance style, but Janet McTeer style.
Tell us about your character.
So I play Edmund Rostand, who wrote, if you know him, he wrote Cyrano de Bergerac, and he'd written other plays. He was a great poet, and he was married to another poet named Rosamund Gerard. And so our playwright, Teresa Riebeck, has come up with a story because there's a synchronicity in time of when Sarah Bernhardt played Hamlet, which she had rewritten. They were all French, so they had to be translated, but she wanted the poetry taken out. And just on the timeline of that sort of end of 19th century Belle Epoque time, there was he wrote Cyrano, and he also wrote this other play called L'Aiglon, which was called The Eaglet after Napoleon's son, and also her playing Hamlet. So our playwright has posited some exciting things that happened in that time right there on 1899.
What of it is true? Just that Rostand wrote those plays and Bernhard did Hamlet, or is any of the rest of it true that we know?
That is up for debate. But the part that's definitely the real truth, the true story is that his wife, Rosamund Gerard, sent a play to Sarah Bernhardt and said, "My husband's very talented, you should read this play." Sarah Bernhardt read it, said it was amazing, and they did it. That was called La Princesse Lantaine. She commissioned him to write another play, Le Samaritain, which is given a lot of value in our play. And that play was beautiful, did some wonderful things for French society, but was a failure.
Right. Critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed, thank you.
But no audience.
No, she lost a lot of francs. So, and then he did write Cyrano, which was his most successful thing, and then he did write L'Aiglon for her, which was what's called a breeches part, where a woman is specifically selected to play a man. So, sorry, the part that's true about our play is that they were friends, they were in each other's orbits, and the timeline is similar. And in truth, Rosamund, Sarah, myself, and our children, we all were friends for a very, very long time. Whether or not they were having an affair, I'm neglecting to say that in our play, Rostand and Sarah are having this affair, this incredible affair of minds and artistry and bodies.
Right, deeply, deeply infatuated, obsessive love for each other.
Yes, that was one of the more interesting challenges because they're French, they're artists, but in a contemporary society, it's an American society especially, it can be hard to translate that an infidelity is anything more than just
a weakness of character.
Exactly. And especially when you find out that there are children, you know, I kept saying, like, listen, we have to do something, because you find out that they're having an affair and then you find out that their new baby is sick and people are just like, no, screw this guy.
Yeah, he's a scumbag and we hate him.
And you're looking in the play, rightly so, you're looking for what the challenge is and where the misogyny is going to be. And so you're thinking, is this it? Is he just a cad? And to Teresa's credit and our credit and Moritz's credit, our incredible director, Moritz von Stupennagel, I think that's how you pronounce it, we found something, I think, so much more interesting. You know, at one point I said, because we're in the theater and we're sort of preaching to the choir, especially in New York on Broadway, what are we writing about here? What if this is incredible? It's definitely Sarah's story and Sarah Bernhardt's story when she wanted to play Hamlet. But in terms of my contribution and this conflict between the two of them, what's the part where this guy who loves her, worships her, values her, has an Achilles heel that he cannot see? And to that end, I think we've done something really interesting.
No, I don't want to give it away. Let me think how to say it. When she realizes what he can't understand, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous moment on stage.
Thank you so much. I am so proud of it. One of the challenges that Rostand has, she asks him, this isn't a spoiler, she asks him to rewrite Hamlet. So, and as I said, they had to be retranslated, but she wanted the verse out. She wanted it to be more active, and she was, at that time, she was interested in a more naturalistic style of acting, even though she was known for these incredible gestures, and he called her the princess of the gesture, or something like that. But she was more interested as she went on to be in a more naturalistic form. So she was looking for this new way of acting. But one of the challenges, the character, Rostand has a challenge as a lover of Shakespeare that he thinks it's sacrilege to take out the verse of Hamlet. And he himself, Rostand, was very well known as a poet who was exceptional with verse. So that was sacrilege to him. But in that scene that you were just mentioning, it's to articulate his point of view, which is valid, to not do that, and then the revelation of how he cannot see her are two very different things. And it was very interesting in our time of rehearsal, and it's a new play. So trying to fine-tune that and give them both value in their arguments and his complete inability to see that he can't see her and what that actually means.
That's very well done. You mentioned a moment ago, you mentioned the playwright Teresa Rebeck, and you did so with a great deal of affection in your voice and on your face. Tell me what it's been like to work with her.
I have known Teresa for a very long time. I really appreciate her contribution to the American theater and also screenplays and television, of course. Like a year and a half ago, this thing happened on Facebook where we were talking about plays that we wanted to see, and I put some comment, and then Nick Westraid, who's in the play as well, who plays her son, and we were talking about roles that Nick and I had said in this Facebook chain, roles that we don't get to play. And Teresa happened to chime in, I'll write that play. And so there was a moment, that's not how this play came to be, but there was a discussion at one point about a play for Nick and I, and then that went the way of the dodo, and then this incredible thing happened. So I have great affection for her and her work ethic and her, you know, her artistry and what she's after. She's an incredibly fast rewriter and thinker and strong of opinion, strong of conviction, and she has really walked the walk, especially as a female writer who has been doing it for I forget how many decades, so she's seen a lot. But just to have the idea to hone in on something with Sarah Bernhardt at this time is brilliant.
Our guest is Jason Butler Harner. He's currently playing Edmund Rostand in the Roundabout Theater Company production of Bernhardt Hamlet on Broadway. Have you worked with Roundabout before?
I have. This is not a smoke up the proverbial moment here, but right. I've done two other plays with Roundabout and countless other readings and development and things. Early on I did a production of Juno and the Paycock that John Crowley directed, who was just this Irish director that no one knew, and then he went on to do Brooklyn the movie. But that was great, with Dervla Malloy and a bunch of people, and I played Crippled Johnny, and That was one world. And then I did The Paris Letter, which was a John Robbie Bates play with Ron Rifkin, John Glover, Daniel Eric Gold, and Michelle Pauk, which was a beautiful play, and I got nominated for a Drama Desk nomination for it. So, you know, the opportunity that they have been so genuinely excited to be able to give me, which is to get to be up there on that marquee with Janet McTeer and Dylan Baker and to play this part, and it's just a tremendous amount of history. So I'm very grateful.
You mentioned Dylan. Let's talk more about him and your other co-star, whose name I don't have in front of me, but who plays Alphonse Mucha.
Sure.
Dylan Baker is so funny in this.
He's so funny. He's so naughty. The guy knows a bit, and he's looking for more. There's a party scene when we're all cramped in this beautiful but teeny space, a little drunk, and he gets drunk, and we've created this whole world of dealing with his drunkenness, which is one of my favorite things of every night.
Well, it's very real and very, it looks like you're all such close friends. Like, you're really, like, guiding him and maneuvering him, and he's being tolerated by another person who knows him very well and basically ignored by Alphonse Mucha.
Yes.
It's great.
It's so great. The sotto voce conversation between us is not for public listening, but it's my favorite thing in the world. The guy who plays Mucha, who is this, is Matt Saldivar, who coincidentally I went to grad school with at NYU. So I've known him for a very long time. He was in the class ahead of me. He's so elegant, so sexy, so funny. And we have those two scenes together. Well, three, but the two scenes that are just the two of us, in particular one where he comes in tormented that I love, where he throws everything and we're getting drunk. And boy, he's incredible.
I loved the show. And there's like no way to, there's no reason for me to be impartial, but I loved the show and I want everyone in the whole world to see it. How do we do that?
I don't know. We got to get to see it. You know, the best part about a new play is that you don't know what it's going to be about, right? And one can, understandably, I've had so many friends who are of the theater who said, I didn't know what it was going to be about. I thought it might be a snore because, I don't know, Hamlet. Was it going to be... Listen, I love Shakespeare. I love Chekhov. I love Ibsen. I love going to them. But my friends and I, sometimes we call it eating your theater vegetables. And that is definitively not this experience. It's so fun. It's so romantic. It's so... it is timely, and that's a dangerous thing to say because you think, really? But it's really timely without hitting you on the head. And the way it... You know, part of Teresa's motivation for writing it was in response to the election. And that comes in a number of ways, but in particularly one line I deliver late in, which is a direct steal of things that we said. But it's heaven. It's real heaven and a great night in the theater. I think each act is also like an hour and 5 minutes. So it's not the kind of commitment that you may be afraid that you're making.
It is so funny, which we've mentioned, but the actors who play they are other actors in the production of Hamlet. They play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and the friends at the beginning when the ghost, anyway, Hamlet, people in Hamlet, they're very funny too, very very funny.
Aren't they so great? I mean, they're all Brittany Bradford, who plays Lisette, the actress who plays Ophelia. She's fresh out of Juilliard. Amazing. Then there's a guy, Aaron Costaganis, who he's the other guy, and then Trini Sandoval, who's heaven. And then who do we forget? Oh, and then late in the play, Ito Agayari, who plays my wife, comes in, and that scene is just phenomenal. And Nick Westrate, and then Tony Carlin, who's a little new to the company, and he's great as the critic, and that gets a great laugh. Anytime you have a critic on stage in a play, you're going to get a laugh.
That's very true. How do you choose the projects you'll work on? You do stage work, you do television and streaming television, which is television by now, the same, and movies. How do you figure it out? How do you have this job?
Wow, sometimes it's so random. I mentor a lot of young actors coming out of school, and I always say to them, the definite no's and the definite yeses are few and far between. It's the qualified ones that are the challenges. This was a definite yes. You're so grateful for it. When I was asked to be in Changeling by Clint Eastwood, that was a definite yes. And, you know, just as a side note, I had played a lot of Tom in The Glass Menagerie with Sally Field, Turgenev in The Coast of Utopia with all those wonderful people. I played a lot of poetic, romantic guys, and at that point in my career a decade ago, I was like, I never get to be dangerous, and then Changeling happened, and then it's been a lot of dangerous guys. Like, I'm on this show Ozark on Netflix playing Agent Roy Petty, who has some issues, and which coincidentally Janet is on this season, which was a wonderful mitzvah. But this one I just knew right away. And I was super grateful. I like switching back and forth. When I started acting, I only thought that theatrical acting was the extent of my imagination for a career. I didn't really think that it was possible that film and television could happen. And then it did, and then you think, oh, wow. I feel more and more right now, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, I feel more and more now that I have to listen more to myself about what I think I need at a moment. And I also think that there are times where I feel I have a responsibility to not do something that may come my way. You know, when I first played that guy in Changeling, his name was Gordon Northcott. He was a real tormented person who, you know, kidnapped kids and did horrible things to them. And then you just get all those parts for a while, or you get offered those parts for a while. And then I just reached a point at the end of Ozark, especially, even though he was a much more interesting dichotomy, I reached a point where I just thought, my body does not want to play these crazy people right now. And to the extent that I can afford it, I'm not going to do it. So I'm so happy to be in this play where I just get to be funny and full of love for her and rolling around on the ground kissing Janet McTeer and have a flaw that's a human flaw, but it doesn't involve me killing anybody.
Jason Butler Harner co-stars as Edmund Rostand in the Roundabout Theatre Company production of Teresa Riebeck's new play, Bernhard Hamlet, now running on Broadway at the American Airlines Theatre. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.